Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Hello, so we're back as this lazy bank holiday winds down. As some managers exult with a fair wind in their sails, including the two I'm joined by tonight, as we head into the big one in terms of this year's showpiece, Double Game Week 36, whereas others, like maybe myself, just want it all to end as quickly as possible. Like, no, end it now. Just end this season. Four more pods left, Harry. Four more pods, and then we can just forget this ever happened. Anyway, a quick note that I've got a bit of an annoying post-COVID cough, so I might be less vocal than usual today. Apology for any kind of spluttering online, etc. I'm joined by Harry again, and also a guest this evening, as I've mentioned, a fried chicken connoisseur, Newcastle fan, and a pod debutant as well, in Thinesh, aka at FPL underscore TT. Please introduce yourself to the good people, for those who have never met you before. I've met you on meets, and we've shared some fried chicken together, haven't we?
We have. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Harry, for having me on. Yeah, like Tom said, my name's Thinesh. If you know me on Twitter, I go by the handle FPLTT, not to be confused with Thomas Tuchel, who's seem to have stolen my initials there. So yeah, I guess I've been playing FPL for about 15, this is my 15th season now, and it's going pretty well this season. So I'm sure we'll get into some team chat as well. But yeah, big Newcastle fan. And aside from that, yeah, I don't mind a little bit of fried chicken. So
Thomas Tuchel seems to be stealing your initials, but it's up for debate who's having a bit of a better season out of the two of you. You seem to be flying. We'll talk about that in a minute. Thank you to everyone again coming back. Yeah, not too long left, Tom. Hoping that the last few weeks continue as well for me as the previous ones have. But yeah, I can understand why quite a lot of people are hoping for the season to end. It's been a long slog for a lot of people. Just three game weeks left now. The big 36, which we will talk about. We are Who Got the Assist. You can find Tom at WGTA underscore FPL. You can find myself at FPL underscore Harry. As we've mentioned, we'll do mainly looking at 36 in combination with 37 and 38 in this as well. The usual market forces, game week update and mini league update as well to start off with.
And yeah, no discrete kind of third section this week. It's just going to, most listener questions will organically go into the main section, as has been the way over the last few podcasts. Right, first up, it's the game week reviews, how we've been getting on. I know, obviously, we're recording just timestamp this as the Man United game. It's just in the second half, but let's just see how we're getting on. So, as intimated, Vinesh, you've had a really, really good season thus far. Even though you've spunked all your chips, you're still going strong. How did this game week go for you? And kind of just give us a bit more detail about how you've done this season thus far.
Yeah, so this week, I feel like I've got very lucky. I'm on 65 points, and that's with a Gabriel auto-sub off the bench for 11 points. And I didn't have Son, so somehow I've managed to escape this game week. And I'm on a pretty decent green arrow, up to 1.7k. So yeah, been a really good week, and that's my highest rank of the season so far.
Cool. Like, how do you normally tend to perform? Is this like your best ever season? You tend to kind of mess around in these sort of upper echelons. Like, how do you tend to play it?
I think recent seasons have been a lot better. I joined like the Twitter community about 4 years ago, and ever since then, like my results or my ranks have been way better than what it was before. I've definitely taken the game a lot more seriously, and that's definitely helped in terms of my output and just understanding the game a lot better. So this hopefully will be my first top 10k finish, and I was really close a couple seasons ago where I finished 11k. So it'll be really good to finally get over the line if I can do it at the end of this season.
Cool. It sounds like you're definitely going to make it, even though, as we'll speak about in a bit, you don't have any chips left. So you may have to approach the next couple of game weeks slightly differently and perhaps invest in a very large sofa. For me, as the excrement in the sandwich of you guys, I'm 48 minus four this week, all out, which is not great, obviously. Luca Dean sold him for Cancelo, and Luca Dean appeared out of nowhere. Thought he'd been gone for the season, but no. Actually, in fairness, I'd never have played Luca Dean this week, so I was convinced he was out for the whole season anyway. So I got rid of him for Cancelo, financed by selling Kai Havertz to Jacob Ramsey. But basically the story was, as it seems to have been throughout the last kind of few weeks, and indeed throughout the season, not having one player or kind of choosing one player in the 50 or another has really not gone well. So no Son and Kane, a captain for me, just for the 12. Managed to bench Martinelli's 6-pointer as well, which is a bit annoying. But nonetheless, I thought that he was less likely to start compared to Breuer and Wood. So, yeah, well, a little bit frustrating overall. I think I'm kind of bobbing around 200k mark and really need the bench boost in 36 to really pay off. So the week just to go. And finally, Harry, see that you did a little bit better than me.
Yeah, so 64 all out, pretty much carried solely by Son's 38. I didn't have very much else to write home about. Robertson with a 6, Cancelo with a 5, but the ownership of those two is very high, and Saka with a 4. Apart from that, it's a lot of ones and twos around my team. Son's 38 carried me through. I've been on the wrong side of Kane and Son for a fair few weeks, and then wildcard, I made the switch from Kane into Son and didn't really fancy him that much for captaincy, given how I saw him actually perform in game week 34, but I didn't love the options elsewhere, and I was fairly convinced that Salah's minutes would be managed. Whether he started or not, I wasn't sure, but Armand went on Son against what I thought would be a heavily rotated Leicester. So happy with that. Up now inside the top 4K, and thinking that we sat here 2.5 weeks ago and I was 35K. It's been quite a couple of weeks for me. So yeah, two chips to play in the last three game weeks. So hoping that it keeps going in the way that it has done over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's a thoroughly frustrating that one with Son. I just, obviously as a non-Son owner, just because it was one of those where you were never, like, I've had Kane since game 24, and I just don't think you'd ever, apart from if you're on wildcard, make the move to remove Kane for Son. It's just one of those which is so kind of far off the table, but the points don't lie, and it's been incredibly punishing to be on the wrong side of that. So yeah, good move for you to remove him on wildcard, that's for sure.
Interestingly, it's a question that I've been asked a couple of times over the past week, is if you have Kane in your team now, is it too late to make that switch with Son sort of continuously outperforming him? Son, you know, pushing Salah for the golden boot, for example. I've thrown a question in way ahead of anything in the schedule, but it is, you know, are we thinking it's too late? Are we thinking it's only to do... I think the way I view it, and I think people will be thinking this, is if you do Kane to Richarlison, for example, and we'll talk about some of these assets in more detail later, and then do a cheap up to Son, I think that's fine. But I'm not sure I would do the Son in for like a fodder, Kane to a fodder. I think that's a bit late. But if you can move them around, I don't think Kane down and Son in is a bad move, especially with the couple of fixtures they've got towards the end of the season.
It's so damn situational now, though, isn't it? Because like most of us would have had plans in place for the last, especially the big one, double game week 36 that we'll come on to. Most of us have had plans in place for that. And I've had, you know, my transfers pretty much ready to go for the last little while, which haven't included removing Kane for Son. I mean, in a vacuum, of course I'd do it. By the wild card, of course I'd do it. But that, you know, I'm looking at like a minus 8 or a minus 12 or something like that for the sake of free game weeks. It just doesn't seem worth it right now. Maybe I've sunk cost fallacy that I want, that I've kind of, you know, I've gone too far with this plan and I need to kind of rethink it. But it does definitely feel like it's one of those where... it's tough to justify in my situation, that's for sure. It's so situational, I think. What do you think, Dinesh?
I mean, if we had a time machine, right, I think last few game weeks, a lot of us would probably make that switch. I think, like you said, it's very situational. If you've got the freedom of a chip or you've got maybe transfers in hand, I think just because transfers are so precious at this moment in time, moving from Kane to Son, for example, that's at least two transfers. So yeah. For me, I'm quite comfortable just keeping Kane to the end of the season, but... you know, if I could do it all again, of course, I would have Son.
Yeah. Nick, former and returning co-host, has gone from about 60k to about 10k but I didn't have having Son over the last few weeks. It's just absolutely amazing, isn't it, really? And moving on to the Min League as well, it's a real sort of pronounced difference of the Son haves and the Son nots up top. It's still Hakon Mangusnes. He's been top for about 5 or 6 weeks now, but his lead, which was once 35 points, is now just 4. 37 points only for Hakon this week. Ryan Mackie right behind him now, with Son the captain for him this week, as is Chris Turner. 72 points as it stands, I should say, -4 for Chris. Son, again, the captain there. That's meant that Lucky Prophet, Troy Hope, who sadly captain Salah for that one-pointer, only got 45 this week. And Bruno, number one, James Coe, down to fifth. That's a Kane captaincy. In sixth, Artanista, Joachim Lengroff. De Bruyne, the captain, so it's going to go to Vice Kane. I think that will take him up to about 58 this week. In seventh, saying where he is as well, it is what it is, Steve Jones, 41 points for him. In eighth, down from fifth, it's always in Kerwan, the special one, Sterling captain. Oh, that's got to be a bit frustrating. I can see why you went there, but wow, you must really hate the guy. In ninth, staying where he is as well, Santiago Munoz, Sam McCaffey, 44 points for him, a Kane captain there too. And finally, in tenth, staying where he is as well, shakes and wakes, Robert Poole, Captain Salas with the Cancelo voice, but did bring in Foden, so a slight bit of positivity there. And moving on, it's finally to the market force in this little section.
And there's not much going on apart from Gabriel Jesus having over 55 transfers in, double the amount to any other player in the game, with Nketiah coming in second. Seems to be finding his starting place in that Manchester City team. With the amount of forwards that we don't really have this season, are people just trying to fill a void in that, take a gamble that maybe he starts three of the last four games between now and the end of the season? He's returned points in both his last two starts. What do you think, guys? Jesus in, or is it a bit reactionary? Do you think once, you know, the Fodens, the Grealishes, the De Bruynes come back in from after the Champions League semi-final goes, Mahrez as well, is his place in the starting lineup going to stay because Pep loves a player on form? Or do we think that's a bit short-lived, the returns that we're getting from Jesus? Tinesh?
I mean, it's always hard trying to guess what Pep Roulette is going to do. But I think he feels quite, not nailed on, but I think he feels quite comfortable with the lineup that he likes going with in the Champions League, with Mahrez, Sterling and or Foden and De Bruyne playing that sort of false nine. So I guess you can take some sort of comfort that Jesus might be more likely to play the league. But like you said, it's quite a punty pick. And he's just at an awkward price point, I think, unless you've really got no other moves to make. Like we'll talk about, probably better off going for someone like Richarlison or Watkins, who got better fixtures potentially, not so rotation prone as we expect with Jesus. So, yeah, probably not one for me.
I think it just reflects the dearth of striker options, really, doesn't it? That if anyone does anything, suddenly you've got this kind of undercurrent of individuals in the market who are just leaping to get this player in. But you're right, Harry, to have a bit of skepticism about Jesus, indeed any of the City forwards or midfielders going into this double game week. I mean, that's why I personally have just got Cancelo in the port, and I'm happy to kind of leave it there, I think, for now. You mentioned Richarlison being brought in there, Tinesh, 45,000 transfers in for him, just below Nketiah, who's got 50,000 transfers in thus far. A cheap option, do not yours. In fourth, Alonso is still being brought in for some reason. We'll have some questions about that later on, but that looks a bit bizarre to me. And in fifth, in terms of transferring, Emmanuel Dennis, people not getting the memo about Watford's recent performances and just seeing he's got double game week and thinking, hey, what the hell, I'll get the Nigerian Super Eagle in. And being sold, Reguilón, people still held this guy? Really? Okay. In the second most sold, Ivan Toney. Third is Armando Breuer, who I've had for absolutely ages, and I'm still scratching my head as to why I've had him first up the last couple of weeks, blocking 6 pointers. That would have been 10 points I really needed. But hey, there we go. It's just a kind of a collection of lesser-owned players all making up the top 10 at the moment on either side. And I think we'll kind of just see how the land settles really after the Champions League, just because there's so much more information to come. Right, so we're here. It's the big one. Let's talk about it indeed. And I just want to see, first off, where we're all at with it. I mean, Harry, you're bench boosting, same as me, aren't you? And Tinesh, where are you with this? You haven't got any chips at all, have you?
No chips left to play, but I think I'm in quite a good position for 36. I've kind of just been scanning what other people are doing with their chips and sort of what teams they're trying to get towards. So for me, it's sort of a little bit of trying to protect my rank, but, you know, make sure I've got the players that I want to get in. And I think the transfers that I've made in the last few weeks have always had sort of 36 and 37 in mind. So yeah, I think I'm in quite a good position, and most likely I think I'll take a hit this week just to get in some of the players that I'm looking at for the big double game week.
Yeah, I've still got my free hit to play next week as well. So slightly different to you, Tom, I believe. You haven't got your free hit for 37. So I've got bench boost 36, free hit 37. So again, focusing pretty much on this week and not looking at the two game weeks after very much, as opposed to you two.
Cool, that makes sense. But I guess looking at this week in the kind of the first place, who will the key men this week be? I mean, what's the kind of the best kind of set of fixtures that are out there?
Yeah, there are a few teams that stand out for me in terms of if you look plainly on the fixtures. I think Leicester, Everton and Norwich at home is probably the best double game week we have. Chelsea against Wolves and then Leeds is also very nice. And then you have Manchester City with Newcastle and Wolves. You could also throw Watford in there with Crystal Palace and Everton. On paper, those four are probably the sort of doubles that I like the most. But again, as you say, the motivation factor really comes into play. We know what Leicester have done when they've had European fixtures around double game weeks or even around single game weeks. We know the amount of rotation that we saw at the weekend against that Tottenham side, who then went on to run riot against them. Everton Norwich look great both at home, but again, I can't see any of their players really starting both games. I think it's very difficult to predict. We've spoken a lot about Schmeichel in goal being the only one that I think we're confident starts double game weeks or starts every single game week between now and the end of the season. But the thing is that I keep saying with him is, it might be great that Schmeichel starts, but if you've got a different back four in front of you every single game you play, it doesn't bode well for the clean sheets that you're potentially keeping. I don't mind him. And if I was still buying a goalkeeper between now and the end of the season, I think it would still be Schmeichel just based off the amount of fixtures that they've got, plus the fixture that they have in 38 as well, being Southampton at home. But I can't really see myself investing in Leicester elsewhere. And I know people will have Madison and Barnes still in their team. I'd still be looking to sell them now, even if they get knocked out of Europe. Are you guys on the same plane? If you had Madison, if you had Barnes, Tinesh, would you hold those guys or would you be looking to move them on?
Yeah, Madison was one I was really keen to get in for the 33 double. And I decided against it just purely because I didn't want to deal with the rotation. And I think it's been pretty clear over the last few game weeks that he just wants to keep players like Madison, Vardy, you know, the key men for Leicester fit for this Europa Conference League sort of cup run. So for me, they're all in a void. I've got Schmeichel. I'm happy with just Schmeichel from Leicester, and I think it'll stay that way. Like you said, I think I wouldn't go anywhere near anyone else. But maybe it might change if they do get knocked out, just because they've got really nothing else to play for other than the league, I guess, at that point. So they've got a great double on paper, but not for me.
The next one we mentioned being Watford. Again, I think none of us are particularly looking at Watford, although my bench boost does include triple Watford, which I'm looking at now and thinking, how have I got to this stage in the season with a bench boost? I've held it all this long thinking the bench boost is the best chip. I'm going to wild card and really plan for this bench boost and it'll be great. And I'm sat here with Foster, Dennis and João Pedro as part of my bench boost with Anthony Gordon in there as well. Won't need to talk too much about Watford, but the other two teams that we mentioned are probably the two teams on the tip of everyone's tongues the most, with Chelsea and Man City. If we start with Chelsea, they were hot property going into 34. People held them for 35, where they ended up all starting, which I think was a surprise to everyone. Do we think there's a chance that actually happens again going into 36? The top four race, they're now only 3 points above Arsenal. Wolves at home, Leeds, but then it is that sort of FA Cup final after that in 36. Tom, Chelsea assets, what's your plan with them?
I sold them last week. I sold Havertz to get Cancelo in, actually. But we have had a few questions about this too, just because, you know, people are so interested to see kind of what's going on with the Chelsea players. Because I think, you know, this game week, it kind of made sense that Tuchel said himself, there's no kind of game midweek, so there's no reason for him to really rotate too much. But I do think, as you said absolutely bloody ages ago, or it feels like ages ago now, Harry, that Leeds game is one that you've got to circle, underline, and think, yeah, that's a game where, you know, all bets are off. It could be the B team, it could be the C team, it could be, you know, likes of Conor Gallagher brought back from loan for a one game only stint or something like that. It's just going to be so unpredictable, that particular game, that I think that if you look at your Chelsea assets now, you've got to probably look at them as single game week assets. I think that that's probably just the way of it. And we had a couple of questions as well about that. So friend of the pod, Adam Pritchard, said, is it worth disembarking from the Chelsea roller coaster and selling the likes of James, Mount, etc.? So, I mean, I was obviously massively relieved when Richarlison did his goal, frankly, to wipe out that clean sheet, and the fact that Havertz didn't punish me this week. But even if I was holding on Chelsea assets, I'd still be kind of, if I didn't have anything better to do, I would be looking to get rid of them, I think, just because they are single game week assets. Now, there's no getting around that. Albeit, you know, game 37, Leicester at home, and game 38, Watford at home. Those aren't bad fixtures. So, I mean, if you've got other things to do, don't worry about it. At least you've got kind of a home game against Wolves, which is okay. Potentially a sub on against Leeds, but I think that's kind of a little bit unlikely, isn't it? So maybe if you do have better options in mind, look at the likes of, maybe, no, I don't know if you've got Werner. If you've got Werner, maybe look at Richarlison. If you've got one of the midfielders to move on, there are probably better options out there. If you can get a Man City player in, like Foden, for example, for Havertz, that might be worth a look. What do you think, Harry? I mean, would you be looking to move your Chelsea assets on then in this situation?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, it's quite interesting. Chelsea versus Leeds is where we're expecting a fair amount of rotation. And I think that will be the case unless we lose or drop points to Wolves. But if that's the case, then your Chelsea assets are unlikely to get points against Wolves anyway, if we're not winning that game. So you're probably only going to get one game that they're winning and picking up points together. So again, it is that sort of single game week. I think Havertz has been pretty poor the past couple of games. And I think a switch to Foden is almost guaranteed for me, unless he picks up an injury into the Champions League. Foden looked good. He had extra set pieces. He had extra freedom without De Bruyne. I'm not under any illusion that maybe he'll be as free-reigning and as involved maybe as we saw him at the weekend. I do think it's worth bearing that in mind, that De Bruyne not being on the pitch definitely made Foden's FPL output look better than maybe it will look with Foden back in, with De Bruyne back in. But I think he's a good option. The issue for me is when we look in defence, and I was also very sure that my second free transfer this week was going to be Reece James to Laporte, which looked like it made a lot of sense. Laporte doubles this week, and then they have Villa at home in the final week of the season. However, I'm now looking at it thinking, okay, let's say Reece James doesn't start Leeds. Would I rather Reece James at home to Wolves, at home to Watford, or would I rather Laporte in Newcastle, Wolves and Aston Villa? The three games of Laporte as a centre-back versus two games for Reece James, hopefully playing back as a wing-back, which he has done in the past couple of games. The more I think about it, the more I think, is that really that big a good a use of a free transfer? The defenders, because of how they explosive they are, I'm slightly umming and ahhing about whether it's a really valuable use of a free transfer. And actually, I think the attackers is a great place to use the transfer. There are a lot of midfielders, but because of what those defenders can do in a single game, it feels like a very big luxury now to move James, Alonso or Rudiger out for Laporte or Diaz or someone like that. What do you think, TT?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned this to you, Harry, because I was in a similar boat. I was originally like quite set on getting Cancelo in to my team this week. And I think that's probably quite an important subject to touch on, just because I feel like just watching Cancelo, he's not quite the same player playing at right back. And I don't know if that's a system change or if that's because he's playing with someone like Mahrez on the right-hand side who really holds that width, and he's not really getting that license to push on and get those crosses into the box. He's tucking in quite a lot, quite centrally. And I think there's more of the overload on the left-hand side for City. And that's purely just a system thing. So I don't know. I've really changed my mind on getting Cancelo this week. But I guess going back to your question about Laporte in for a Chelsea defender, I actually sold Rudiger a few game weeks ago just because I just wasn't impressed at all with sort of Chelsea's defensive output. I think clearly, you know, the motivations aren't quite there for the league, and there is an eye on the FA Cup. But I think recent results have sort of really changed that outlook, and you can't really go into that FA Cup final expecting a good performance against Liverpool with the current form that you're in. So I'm sure Thomas Tuchel will look to rectify that. And like you said, things are a lot tighter in the league than I think Chelsea expected. But I fully expect, you know, if Chelsea need a win at the end of the season, they will beat Watford. So Chelsea is a team I will probably target, I think, in game week 38. But to be honest, I think they're quite a comfortable sell for me, to be honest, just because, like you said, I think the rotation is going to be there. With James, I don't know, maybe he will play both games, but I think Tuchel's been very protective of James just because he knows how important he is to the team. And is he going to take the risk 3 days before an FA Cup final for that second game? I really don't think so. So who knows? Harry Vale is probably going to make an appearance. Maybe it could get to that at some point.
Yeah, so, maybe. That sort of play. Yeah. You've got Mount, haven't you?
I mean, I have got Mount.
Are you holding him? Are you going to move him out for somebody else? Like,
yeah, I think I will move him out to Gordon, funnily enough.
To Gordon, wow.
I had nailed on Kulusevski as my transfer out to Gordon, but I think it will be Mount now. Just because, like you said, I think it's going to be a single game week fixture for Chelsea this week. And I don't know. I just haven't been impressed with the sort of output. And yeah, I think that just makes more sense to keep Kulusevski given the sort of motivation chat that we've had. And, you know, Tottenham have got it all to play for. So I'm quite happy to keep Kulusevski now.
And that's the thing with Chelsea. I think that they are kind of slightly out of the motivation factor, if you are going to believe that's a thing. I mean, obviously, it's kind of started to creep up a little bit of people saying, oh, yeah, but obviously they're professional footballers. There's no way that they're not going to be performing in the same way as they have throughout the course of the season. But the reality is that you already see the drop-off in, for example, the distances run and the kind of the less predictable nature of the output you're getting. Another good example this week was Aston Villa. I mean, I succumbed to it somewhat, getting Ramsey in. But, I mean, that caught fire in FPL land. Everybody was kind of jumping on Villa and saying that this is probably going to happen, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to do very, very well. But, no, Norwich dominated them, to be honest. It wasn't the best game for Villa. And obviously, you got the goal for Watkins if you did own him. Got a clean sheet for the defensive assets. But, nonetheless, it didn't look great to the eye. So it kind of makes me wonder, looking at kind of the hierarchy of motivation, whether transfer should be focused on the likes of Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Spurs, the players, the teams that you said have got all to play for. And at the other end, Everton, Burnley, and potentially even Leeds, who look like they're going to be, well, look like they're incredibly vulnerable all of a sudden with a Burnley's resurgence under Michael Jackson. Bit of a thriller there. I mean, what'd you make of that one, Harry? Like, for example, me this week, I bought Richarlison because I was just so impressed with his flair throwing. And like with the second player, like I've got Breuer to get rid of, and I'm just not interested in any team outside of that little set, just because at the end of the day, it just becomes like less appetizing to buy a player from a team who don't have anything left to play for beyond, like, you know, finishing 12th rather than 13th.
Yeah, and actually I looked before this, and Leeds are, apart from Watford and Norwich, are favourites now to go down, and I think we'll talk about them before game week 38. If it's going to game week 38 and they're away at Brentford, I think the likes of Rafinha could end up being talk about the motivation factor, a player we talk about then. I think buying into Aston Villa is completely dependent on whether you're playing your free hit in game week 37 or not. If you're not playing your free hit in game week 37, a double-double, which does include two fixtures against Burnley, although they've looked better recently, have still conceded enough chances that you'd expect, you know, a front three of Coutinho, Watkins, Ings to get a few chances against them. If you are free hitting in game week 37, though, I think they rapidly drop down the sort of priority order. A Burnley away fixture this week, a Liverpool fixture as well, followed by Manchester City in game week 38 is one of the most difficult runs if you take 37 out of the equation. So yes, I think you can go buying into them, but I definitely don't think that they're a priority buy now. If I was looking at Aston Villa in comparison to Everton, for example, would I invest in, you know, Pickford or Martinez? Would I invest in Cash or Mikalenko? Would I invest in Gordon or Ramsey or you know, Watkins or Richarlison? And I think I would say in at least three of those four, I'd be going on the Everton side of the coin just because of that motivation factor, just because every single fixture between now and the end of the season, it's possible that they get something in. Whereas Villa, yes, you know, they've got assets that we like. There's just games that I'm just not that fussed that I think they'll be as up for as the opponents they're playing in. we were drawn into Villa because of that Norwich fixture in 35 as well. And now that that's gone, again, I'm much more in favour of buying into Everton assets than I am buying into Villa assets, given the what they showed against Chelsea, into Chelsea in the weekend. Tinesh, again, Villa versus Everton, two teams I think people will be investing pretty heavily in. Are you team Everton, team Richarlison, team flare thrower, or are you going with Villa?
Well, I'm team both, I guess, because I held Coutinho since his, I think it was 28 or 29, where he had that really good performance in that game. And it just kind of just stuck because I was putting out other fires. So it just made sense just to hold him through. And like everyone else, I fell for the, well, I say I fell for the trap because I got in cash this week. So I was quite happy with the clean sheet. But he didn't really look like he was getting involved at all in sort of the play. So yeah, I'm completely with you, Harry. I think Everton for me stand out a lot more, just given that they've got everything to play for, everything's on the line. And the irony is, I think I'm benching both of my Villa players this game week. So I'm planning to sell them in 38. So really, I'm only holding them for the 37 double. So was it a good buy? Probably not, to be honest, in the grand scheme of things. And yeah, I think at this point, if you're looking between the two teams, you've probably got to prioritise Everton, I'd say. Albeit, I don't think they're goal machines at all.
No.
But I think factoring in just the talisman factor of Richarlison, which I like a lot, I think a goal in each game, I think you're laughing, aren't you, if that happens in the double.
Yeah, and probably a potential captaincy pick as well in 37 with those two home fixtures, Brentford and Crystal Palace. Comes something, doesn't it, when you get to this time of the season when you're kind of looking at teams like Everton that we've just completely forgotten about throughout the course of the year. Save a Michael Keane disaster or two. And suddenly these guys are kind of high in mind, top of the menu, but no, you completely understand it. And I do think it does, as we've been talking about, ad nauseam come down to that factor of motivation. One thing I just want to mention here as well is kind of the Man City factor a little bit. So I think kind of we mentioned it slightly with Cancelo, slightly in the port, and then you two gents obviously trying to figure out what you do in terms of those guys. And in terms of the midfield as well, I think Harry said he's looking at moving Foden in. We've got a few questions this week. FPL Fledgling and Abir Das asked if we would be thinking potentially about buying Kevin De Bruyne via selling one of the Spurs guys, so selling a Son or a Kane, just because I think people looking at a Liverpool game in particular for Spurs and thinking, well, you know, perhaps that's not going to be as fruitful as a Newcastle and Wolves double for someone like De Bruyne, especially when hopefully, you know, the Champions League would have been, it will be clear what the City's fate is in the Champions League. And if they're out, then surely it will just be all about kind of winning the league and as steamroller-ish away as possible. I mean, we do have a bit of information to come in terms of the Champions League, but I mean, Tinesh, what do you think about that potential idea? I know it is definitely in mind for people to be selling likes of Kane and Son to finance De Bruyne.
Yeah, I think De Bruyne, if you know, if there is no restrictions in your team, is probably the best captain this week outside of Salah. I think it's, I guess, going back to the sort of perspective pick, De Bruyne is probably your best chance, I think, to really push and gain rank. And he's going to be the upside pick for sure, because I think City, you know, they want to make sure they win. If they can win the league, it's in their hands. So, you know, there's no reason why I think City are going to sort of reduce sort of the output and their performances. I think we saw even they didn't play their best game against Leeds, but they still managed to put four past them. And that's what City are capable of. I think you can always expect at least two or three goals from City. And, you know, De Bruyne will be involved in at least, you know, 50 or 60% of those goals. So if I had that luxury, I would absolutely love to make that move. But at the same time, you know, Kane is an absolute North London derby merchant, and that is someone I don't want to miss out on for that game in particular. And I think that Liverpool game is a bit of a banana skin game with Spurs. You know, I think they're probably one of the best counter-attacking teams in the league. And if there's anyone that can really exploit that high line that Liverpool play, I think it is Spurs. With Son playing off the last man, you know, he's so good. And the understanding that Kane and Son have, I think they can really do something against Liverpool. So I wouldn't be rushing to sell, but I think if it's something you're looking to really try and make a final push in terms of gaining rank, I can definitely back that because I think De Bruyne is a real standout captain this week.
Yeah, I think similarly. I think the reason Foden is great is because a lot of us are sat here with Chelsea midfielders in their team, so it's very easy for that sideways moves to happen, you know, to go from Havertz, you know, Mount into Foden. It makes a lot of sense and it's a very easy transfer. It is how difficult De Bruyne is to get into our teams. If you're chasing, then great. It's a risk that I would probably understand people chasing rank, taking, you know, moving Son if you had to, or moving Kane down, for example, and moving someone in your midfield up in order to get him in. But I find it very difficult to sell Son. I've got Son in my team and there's not, you know, even a thought of selling him for De Bruyne crossing my mind. If you look, yes, it's Liverpool and Arsenal this week, but Burnley at home and Norwich away in 37 and 38. I have had a lot of flack on Twitter about whether I think Son has a chance of getting the golden boot and whether I think there's any chance that Harry Kane hands over his penalty duties if it ever gets that close. But which I think is probably unlikely, and we can't really hypothesize in that way. But he's capable of scoring four goals across those two final games, which in theory would put him level with Salah. I think Son is going to be absolutely gunning it over the last four game weeks of the season. The form he's shown, the goal he scored against Leicester at the weekend with his weak foot just shows the confidence that he's got and the form that he's showing. I wouldn't sell Son, but maybe I'd sell Kane. I think the very popular double transfer of Kane to Richarlison and Havertz to Son or Havertz to De Bruyne is something that I would strongly consider, but I don't think I would sell Son given the form that he's in at the moment. It's the 50-50 of Son versus Kane that puts me one way or the other, depending on who you own. Tom?
It just doesn't seem worth, does it, selling a player in quote-unquote form. I guess we're kind of striving, aren't we, at this point for differentials. I mean, that's the key, just because if you look at your team, you know, we look at all of our teams. I'm just looking at you guys, what you sent me. Like, we've got so many players in common, albeit one mad person's got three Watford players. Let's not talk about that. I just wonder whether there's any kind of scope for a differential as we've all got this kind of smaller cohort of teams to focus on that we're actually interested in, if we're ascribing motivation factors and things like that too. Like, you've got people buying in Jesus, which does make sense. People looking to kind of maybe find ways to Jimmy in KDB. What do you guys make of in differentials this week? I mean, could there be, for example, single game week interest? Or is it just a case of kind of saying, you know what, my differential is that compound differential idea. I've got this whole team all together. Less people have got this. Therefore, I have differential in of itself. What do you think of that, Tinesh? Differentials.
Yeah, I think at this point in the season, you know, it becomes even harder to find these sort of very low-owned picks. But I think a very underrated part of the game is captaincy, and you can definitely make massive gains just going for a potential differential captain in itself, as shown by Son this week. I mean, people who had Son captain absolutely flew up rank-wise, and I wouldn't say that was particularly differential captain. I think that was a very sensible choice, given the Leicester situation in terms of rotation and just how good Son's form was. You know, that would seem like a very, not an obvious move, but I think it was, you know, it wasn't anything out of the ordinary, right? So I think this game shows at times that you don't need to be searching necessarily for these very rogue or picks that, you know, no one else is really thinking about. And you can really make strides just going for a different captain, for example. And I think that's where someone like De Bruyne this week, who is going to be very, he's going to be quite low owned as a captain option. I think you'd obviously worry about his minutes, but given his output and what he's capable of, you know, that could be someone who could really progress you up the ranks just going for that pick as a captaincy option this week.
Yeah, given he didn't play this week as well, I do like De Bruyne again. I'm very much against the idea of picking differentials for differential's sake. I hate the idea of just, oh, he's low owned, so I'll pick him over someone who's a proven and a better asset. At the end of the day, you need to pick the player that's going to score the most points between now and the end of the season. There are a few that I look at and I quite like. Mikalenko at Everton as a, you know, defender, everyone, you know, piling into the likes of Laporte, for example, again, who's only got a ceiling of probably six. You could hope for a header now or then between now and the end of the season, but not most centre-backs score that on a regular basis. So I quite like what he can offer up the left-hand side for Everton. They're fighting. They've got a lot to play for. Leicester after their European game, then Watford, then Brentford and Crystal Palace, both at home, four games quickly. He had chances against Chelsea as well. He's only 4.9 million. People going in on the likes of Matty Cash, I quite like him as an alternative. And the other one that I've been speaking quite a lot about recently is Wilfried Zaha. Although they don't double this week, a home fixture against Watford, he's more than capable of getting double game week worth of points in that one. And then in 37, as we said, he'll be a very popular asset going into that one with Aston Villa away, Everton away before Manchester United on the final day of the season, which is, you know, not a dreadful fixture to have, especially at home. So yes, because he's not doubling this week, people won't look at him. But I do think, especially because he didn't play this week, I quite like what he has. He'll definitely be in my free hit next week as a good differential. He'll probably go up quite highly owned next week. But generally, I try to stay away from the idea of differentials for differential sake. Tom, unfortunately, not at the rank that we are fighting with at the moment. Are you looking at De Bruyne as a captain? Are you looking at these specific picks to try and boost up a little bit of ground over the final few weeks?
Not really, because it's still minus eight taken. Like it's one step forward, two steps back, when it's something like that, isn't it? I mean, what's the point? If it was a perfect world, as you've both described, of course I'd be buying De Bruyne almost definitely. But I think as it stands, I won't be doing that. I think I'm going to have to probably captain with the herds, probably with Salah, and just take it from there. I mean, the only transfer I've got to make really is Breuer out, and that annoyingly leaves me at 5.9 million. The choices are pretty scant. It's either Dennis or someone like Mateta or Vidra, or just someone in the fun zone, like, you know, that guy Welbs, something like that. I don't need this player basically from now on. So I'm not free hitting. I've used my bench boost or so on and so forth. So it's literally just 1 week pump. So it could be target United because they're rubbish, albeit they're winning 3-0. Or I just kind of go for the mins with likes of Dennis or set myself up for next week with a Mateta. I don't know. It's really kind of plumbing the depths of, isn't it, of acceptability when it comes to pickups in that kind of striker slot. I think just in general, you're right about not kind of overdoing it with the differentials to some extent. As I've said so many times throughout the years, it's just the idea that compound differential is so important. Like having that group of players who are decent, who are going to do the job and function for you as a unit is probably a bit better than going all out and dismembering your team just for the sake of those lovely kind of rolling fixtures that you see when you look at the My Team screen. So, captains wise, we'll smash through this pod very quickly, but I think it's one of those where, you know, there's not a loads to speak about. It's just more about the content with regards to understanding this game week. And I think it's probably pretty well licked. I think most of us have had a decent idea of what we're going to do for quite a while. So I don't think there's too much to cover. But Blue Nick's FPL, he's asked, who would you triple captain to hold off the bench boost horde? And Andy Martin has asked, you know, would you captain a Liverpool or Man City defender over one of the attackers? I guess Salah's going to be the EO king this week. I can't really see it going any other way. I don't know. I kind of half fancied, you know, likes of Cancelo or Laporte or something like that. You know how these players do perform in double game week. You could probably just as easily find that they get you 24 points from a captaincy and Salah may blank one of the games. But it feels like one of those where people are going to lump on Salah and let the rest of the team sort of do the talking. And it might be that I do that as well. Although, you know, at 200K, maybe the argument is, hey, you know what, man, you got to take that punt with that sort of player. But I don't know. I really don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think for me, it's a very straightforward Salah captain. I'm quite happy that he's probably going to be the standout this week, just because it's not really going to affect my position. And likewise, it's, you know, the other players that I think, like you said, that are going to probably bring in points that are going to make any sort of rank difference. So, yeah, I think the fact that he had the rest against Newcastle just makes it even more comfortable that he'll probably play both those games. Just something that I thought about is that I guess KDB doesn't really have penalties. So, you know, you're paying almost 12 million for a player, you know, who you're solely relying on free kicks, corners, or just a goal from potentially outside the box, or, you know, and I think that factors in quite a lot, given that a lot of these other players like Kane, Salah, are quite beneficial from penalties themselves. So I can, you know, I feel quite confident going Salah this week. And it is a little bit of a risk, De Bruyne, obviously, with the minutes and that sort of non-penalty factor, sort of factoring that in as well. But I really like the shout for the City defender. I think that's always a fairy tale story, isn't it? When, I think it was last season maybe, that Diaz...
John Stones scored twice in a double. Yeah,
which I absolutely loved because I had both of them. So, yeah, that's sort of playing on my mind a little bit now. I might actually reconsider my second City defender just because we know, like you said, Tom, what City defenders do on a double game week. So, yeah, not a bad shout at all.
So I remember I was sitting there on the weekend and you saw Diaz knocking it down to Ake. And there's me sat with Cancelo in the port, just like, really? Come on, guys, seriously? But yeah, no, I think that it definitely makes a lot of sense. Harry, I'm guessing you're going to keep calm and captain Salah.
I think so, partly because I don't have De Bruyne. If I had De Bruyne, I wonder if he's the best captaincy option this week. And being in my position and not wanting to mess it up between now and the end of the season, having a bench boost active, I can kind of let the rest of my team do the talking for me this week, as you say. And I think it will be on Salah. Again, the rest in 35 means I'm pretty sure he's going to start every game remaining this season. And he'll be a bit fresher given that they play Tuesday in the Champions League, although it's a quick turnaround from this week into the Tuesday. It's then less of a quick turnaround going into the Tottenham game at the weekend. I do think I'll be on him, but if I was again looking for a differential, and I don't think it's a dreadful week to go against Salah. Yes, he did big things against Manchester United, but if you do take that game out of the equation, his returns have not been that great. And the sort of Manchester United game shut up all that talk about Salah's returns have not been good because we all saw what he can do again in that game. But his returns have not been as prolific as maybe we've seen. If I was going to go against him, De Bruyne would probably be the number one. Cancelo would probably be the number two. Trent as well, given that he was rested. There's comments from Klopp about Tsimikas potentially playing, but he didn't want to rotate both fullbacks. So, you know, there's a chance that Robertson gets his rest in one of these. So Trent would probably come in next and then Richarlison again, potentially. But it would probably be De Bruyne or Cancelo that I would go with if I wasn't going on Salah, but I am going to be on Salah come the weekend unless anything happens tomorrow evening.
Fun fact, Salah only needs to score 4 more points for this to be his second best season in FPL ever. He's actually got more assists than he's ever had before in FPL as well right now. So it's amazing how kind of we take him for granted. And obviously I'm hoping there'll be a little bit of a blowback from the Newcastle incident. But I find it quite difficult to look past him. I know I probably should be captaining elsewhere. I know I probably should be kind of shooting for the moon and hoping for a John Stone-style performance from the port. But I think the downside of that and just kind of the general stress of not captaining Salah and everyone else has is I find that quite difficult to do these days. Maybe when I was younger and more debonair, I was able to handle that a bit better. Let's look at Nick's question for a second about the triple captaincy in terms of holding off the bench boost horde. Would you guys still say, you know what, just go with Salah, play it safe? Or would you be more tempted to kind of say, well, everyone else is bench boosting. If you're trying to hold position or trying to match a bench booster, if you've got any triple captain left, would you guys still be advocating, yeah, shove it on Salah? Or would you be kind of saying, hey, you know, if you can get a KDB in, or if you can kind of take a punt on maybe a defender or maybe a Trent or a Robertson, would you be kind of looking at that?
I'd still be putting it on Salah. And the reason for it is the bench boosters majority of them will be going on Salah because they will think my bench boost can do a lot of the work, a lot of the heavy lifting, and I will put it on Salah. If you go with your triple captain against Salah, you run a massive, massive risk of Salah doing well and your triple captain, even with the triple being outscored by the double of Salah. I think, again, if you are chasing and you have De Bruyne, then potentially go with him over Salah. But I just really do not have it in me as a manager to triple captain against Salah. We saw what he's capable of doing earlier in the season with a triple. We've seen it in single games, how he's capable of hauling like no one else in the league is capable of doing. I would still be putting on Salah. Take that probably 140% EO gain that you'll have with a triple over maybe the 160 that the average person has. That's still pretty good. if Salah scores, you know, 15 points over the double, that's probably what you'd expect the average bench boost to score between 15 and 20. You hope that Salah matches that score, and then you again hope that the rest of your 11 can do the talking. I would still be putting it on Salah. TT?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I didn't triple captain Salah in the infamous game week 26 masterclass, and I did not look back from there. I knew when the opportunity came again that I had to do it. So I think it's bad enough going against Salah for one game, but to do it for two games, that, I mean, that's a frightening position. So I think it's a no-brainer. I think, you know, Salah's capable of anything on his day. So yep, if you want the best output, can't go wrong with Salah. But again, you know, it's all circumstantial. Triple captain is one of those chips where you're not going to be looking at massive games. It's guaranteed games, right? Unlike free hit, which is quite fluctuating in terms of, you know, it can go horribly wrong or it can go really well. Definitely. I think you can put it on someone and know that you're going to get something. But if to really maximize, I think it's got to be Salah, to be honest, this week.
Cool. Just to cover up a couple of chip questions as well. So Rohan Pandit asked, well, I think it's quite a situational one, so maybe we'll have to kind of just give an answer theoretically. But would you free hit in 36 or 37 if that was your remaining chip? Obviously, that depends very much on your team. But Harry, like, you know, your team, you're looking to free hit in 37, obviously bench boost this week. We'll talk about bench boost in a sec. Is it just the nature of how the games kind of flop out that you're doing it that way?
Yeah, it's partly the nature of how my team is set up, but I think a lot of the teams that you want in 36, you want in 38 as well, whereas the teams that you buy into in 37, you don't want on the final day of the season. It works quite well as a sort of duo of game weeks. For example, Arsenal double this week, they have Everton at home on the final day. Chelsea double, they have Watford at home on the final day. You know, Liverpool double, Wolves at home on the final day. Manchester City double with Villa at home on the final day. But if you look at some of the doubles in 37, Palace have Manchester United, Everton have Arsenal away, Villa have Manchester City away, you know, Leicester against Southampton. It's just that those games in 36 go very nicely with the games in 38, whereas 37 feels very much in isolation. And a lot of the players that I want in 36, I'm happy holding for the long term, whereas those 37 players, I'm happy to have a one game week fling with, and then I'll be sure to show them the door after that.
That makes a lot of sense. And finally, bench boost. Obviously, we're both on it this week. How did your bench boost go, TT? How did that end up? Were you on target for, I mean, we always tend to say, don't we, 16 points is the minimum, you know, 4 times 4. Did you hit that? And how do you normally kind of pass your bench boosts?
Yeah, I think bench boost for me is the chip I hate the most, because I think it's just notoriously exhaustive planning that doesn't really work out. But funny enough, I probably had the best bench boost I've ever had by a mile. I bench boosted in 28, and I think I got 27 or 28 points, which is fantastic considering they were all single game week players. But the single game week players I had were really good. I had Trent, I had Salah, I had Saka, who all did really well. So it was actually worked out really nicely for me. And I guess part and parcel of the sort of game week 26 to 29 chip strategy, which sort of got me to the position where I am. So I'm actually really happy that I played the bench boost at that time, just because I could just focus my team on my first 11 and really sort of pull the funds into that starting 11, where I think a lot of people on bench boost, Tom and Harry, you know, both in your position, you've got your funds quite spread out and you're kind of pinching pennies at the moment to get in plays for the sake of your bench boost, which I just absolutely hate. So yeah, it's one of those chips for me. I just knew I had to get rid of as soon as possible. So yeah, I'm really happy actually. I don't have to really worry about that.
No, it's an extremely frustrating chip. I actually planned to play it really early around kind of game week 25, 26, something like that, just to get rid of it. One of those sort of makeup doubles, but I just had injuries and things like that, and it just never really got used. And now, kind of, you know, here I am. And you're right about, to some extent, you're right in terms of the extra money needed, but I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, my bench boost is going to be Ramsdale, Trent, Robertson, and Kane, but no. Obviously, I know if all 15 players play, I don't understand when people get really arsy about it. Like, every player plays. It doesn't matter who's on the bench. Like, get the fuck over it. Seriously, some people are absolutely losers. But I mean, my bench is actually going to be, you know, if you look at the weakest players, probably going to be like Davis, Ramsey, and, you know, 5.9 million striker, like a Dennis or something, and Foster in goal. I mean, that's not the worst. That is a bench. You know, like, none of those players are like ridiculously like, sporting a 12th or 13th man well expensively, and it's kind of fallen that way this season. It's kind of all right with a few kind of key enablers like Ramsey and the cheap strikers and things like that, but I know what you mean, and maybe next year it might be good to just kind of get rid of it fairly early and just kind of be able to focus my attention on building great first 11, although in the last couple of weeks obviously having bad benches has hurt a few people, that's for sure. Harry, how are you anticipating your bench boost is going to go, and how have you done in the past?
Honestly, I was just looking at my bench and thinking, honestly, I've held it and gone with the strap line everyone does. Oh, I'll plan really well for it. I'll wild card and then I'll have a great bench boost and it will score me loads of points. And now I'm sat here with triple Watford as part of my bench boost. I tend to quite like it as a chip because I do think if you plan well for it, yes, it takes up a bit of time before, but if you do wildcard and then bench boost later, you do have the ability to score a lot of points for it. And it can be a very big swing in overall rank if you do play it well. Again, Foster, João Pedro, Dennis, Gordon as my bench. When we get a Dennis assist, João Pedro goal, we'll be sat here cheering away this time next week. But yeah, I'm not that hopeful for it. It's four of them. Hopefully they all start twice. João Pedro might miss out one with King coming in, although King's, you know, not scoring any goals either. That's sort of a 16-point base. If I get one return across the eight games that I have on my bench, then it puts it up to 20. And I'm quite happy with that. The rest of my starting 11 is good. I have 15 doublers this week. So I'm hoping for one return from eight fixtures on my bench, and I'll be happy enough with that, to be honest. I'm not really gunning for anything more.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we might as well just move on to transfers and captains then. I think you kind of just already mentioned your team a little bit, Harry. I mean, transfers this week, I guess you're ready to go with the free hit. In 37, are you going to make one maybe to remove one Chelsea player? Are you take a hit? What are you going to do?
Yeah, so I've actually got two free transfers to use this week. So okay. I rolled going into this week. So Kai Havertz to Phil Foden is almost guaranteed unless Foden picks up an injury midweek. The other one was going to be James to Laporte. And I think if it came to the deadline, it would probably still be it because I don't look around my team and think there's necessarily a better use of my transfer. I don't have enough money in the bench to upgrade like João Pedro to anyone else who's got a better, you know, double. I can't upgrade Foster to anyone with a better double either. So I could do João Pedro to Nketiah with my second transfer, but it's at the moment it's James to either Laporte or Diaz and Havertz to Foden with two free transfers. There's absolutely no need for a hit with, you know, the squad that I'm lining up with this week. So yeah, Havertz to Foden and then something else, potentially James to Laporte.
Yeah, you might as well use it before you lose it. That's for sure. It makes exactly a lot of sense. T, I mean, you're not bench boosting, obviously, this week. Mount to somebody, is it?
Yeah, I think Gordon is nailed on. Who that's for, I guess, is the question. Mm. But I think I've come around to the idea of keeping Kulusevski now. And I guess the really good point Harry made is that 36 goes very well with 38. And with that in mind, I don't really want to be losing my Spurs players for that.
No, Norwich game. Or
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I want my Spurs players in for 38. So I think I am looking at a hit this week. I mean, I can definitely get away with not taking a hit because, you know, I'm benching cash. And if I do upgrade Brozier to Richarlison, which is my second planned transfer for a minus four, then I would be benching Coutinho. So, yeah, originally I had planned to upgrade Gabriel to Cancelo because I've got the funds for that as well with the downgrade. But, yeah, I'm still in two minds. I think Gordon's pretty nailed, but I think there's just really good upside with Richarlison for 36 and 37.
Yeah.
And, again, it just goes hand in hand with covering myself against people playing free hit in 37 who I know will get in Richarlison. So it just makes a lot of sense to me. So I think that will probably be what I do. So Mount to Gordon and Brozier to Richarlison for the hit.
was good. I mean, it's just nice the idea of selling Breuer. It really is. Yeah. I will be doing it. Last night I sold Chris Wood for Richarlison, so watch him now be banned for throwing that flare into nobody. I've got 14 double game weekers at the moment with my bench boost. Obviously, I'll be removing Breuer for somebody. I've got basically a 1 week punt because my 37 seems actually pretty stacked and I won't need that spot. So I could buy Danny Welbeck just because I've always wanted to buy him. I've never bought him before and he's nice to rubbish. So I could do that. Could, you know, just do something boring and get Dennis or something like that. I don't know, 5.9 million forward. Who even knows? Got double City defence and Cancelo and Laporte. Got Davis, I'm not expecting very much from. A double Liverpool defence as well. In midfield, Marcelli and Saka. Who knows what will happen there? Jacob Ramsey, lol, 4-point hero. Kulusevski and Salah, the captaincy armband. And Richarlison has come in. I think that's been future proof, and really I think everybody will captain him as in terms of what you were saying, Tinesh, 37. I think he'll be a really popular captain in those two home games. And Kane, I'm going to keep around now. I think there are a few things I could do, but I think I'd just leave it to the -4 and hope for the best with 30 players or 29 players as it is. I'm just not convinced that buying a Watford player is a good idea. I think they're just completely gone now, really, aren't they? Although, you know, you could tell yourself the story that Emmanuel Dennis is trying to, you know, play up to the gallery to get himself a move. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm just hoping that this is going to be a decent bench boost and not, you know, a 95 point week when you've got 30 players just because it's rotation hell. But don't think it will be that way, hopefully. Anyway, right. I think that is your lot, isn't it, Harry? Anything else? No.
Nope. Covered everything. Listeners' questions, how we're lining up for this week. Again, 3 game weeks left. We're almost there for everyone hoping that the season comes to a very quick end. We are, I think, about 3 weeks away from the final game week of the season taking place. Thank you all for listening. We were Who Got the Assist, and thank you very much for coming on, Tinesh.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Thanks, Harry, for having me on. I absolutely love the podcast. I think, you know, it's one of those that are always part of my weekly listen for many years now. So it's absolute pleasure to be chatting to you guys, and yeah, all the best for the rest of the season. I can't believe there's only 3 game weeks left, but I think we all need a much needed break soon, don't we? So
yeah, definitely. Hopefully see you in May anyway. Hopefully you can get a tactical chicken cottage at some point. I'm a vegan as well, but you know, if I start drinking, then suddenly all of these principles straight out the window. Anyway, on that bombshell, hope we assisted you. Speak to you very, very soon. Be back next week at some point during the mix of game week 36, I'm sure. In the meantime, enjoy, have a good week, and speak to you very soon. Goodbye.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Podcast Network.